All right, turn to Hebrews. And you won't, I don't know if you can see this. Check that. Check how lekker this is. Yeah. Oh, yes. If you don't know what it is, it's a map of Africa. So. Okay. The call of God. That's what we're looking at right now. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. All right. So, the context of this letter, we find it chapter 11 at the end of, nearing the end of a letter written to Christians who are facing persecution, who are facing the confiscation of their goods and the temptation to actually tone down their beliefs, to actually adopt some of the old Judaic roots, their Jewish roots, all right, so as to escape persecution. And the whole letter is encouraging believers not to backslide, basically, not to slide away, not to drift away, should I say, from the original belief, the original confidence that they have in God. And basically, you know, the writer's going, God called you. God's called you to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. And you cannot and must not forsake that call. That call has a way to it. There's a path for you to walk in. And you must keep walking in that path. Don't deviate. And don't go back. Whatever you do, don't go back to, you know, what you've been saved out of. So most the readers were predominantly Jews who had converted to Christianity, and they were tempted to go back to their Jewish practices, back to the temple, back to being accepted in their Jewish communities because they had been ostracized. And at chapter 11, he basically, it's the famous passage, if you've been a Christian for a while, you'll know, it's like the chapter of faith, the hallway of faith, or it's like this this chapter where they list people of faith in the past, and the writer points these Christians to others, saying, there's others who've gone before you who are people of faith, who they were called as you are called, and they didn't forsake God. They remained true. And yeah, we see one of the people that he gives this example of is Abraham. And so he's saying to these guys, you've been called by God. Now, just as Abraham was called, he starts up here. He says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. He's saying, well, you were called, and so you need to obey. When Abraham was called, this is what his life looks like. And he draws this parallel between Abraham's life way back when, like thousands of years before he wrote this, or like maybe, what, 2,000 years before he wrote this, more or less. He draws this parallel to Abraham's life, and he says, guys, okay, let's draw some things from his life, along with the other people he lists. Abraham used to live in this comfortable place called Ur of Chaldeans. And it was a great city. You can go to the Ur you can go to Ur of the Chaldeans today. They've actually, it's an archaeological site, and they've got all the evidence that they need to have to indicate this is Ur of the Chaldeans. I actually watched something of this Christian archaeologist actually going to the site and saying, here's the city of Ur, and you can look at sort of computerized schematics of how the walls used to be. And it was known to be a very sophisticated city. It was known to be a wealthy city. It was a hub of, like an economic hub. Abraham would have had a stable home, a permanent house. He would have probably, you know, through the generations, like been born there and had, there was a lineage that would have come through into that town that he was in. And he had a stable home. He would have had security, the protection of city walls with like some guy standing at the walls guarding the perimeter, making sure no thieves get in. That's the benefits of living in a city, right? Well, in those days. He had extended family. He would have had his uncles and his aunts and his cousins and his, you know, the people that he's seen, you know, from year in, year out, that his mom and dad know from then and you know, years gone by. He would have had wealth and inheritance through his dad, livestock, servants, property. There was a cultural richness to being in that city, and it's proven that city was a culturally rich city with trade, music, art, etc. And he had social standing as he belonged to a family in one of the great cities. Yet, the writer is saying, Abraham was, when God called him, when he encountered God, he left it. And he's saying, guys, and what did he do? He didn't look back. As he looked ahead to where God was calling him to go. And here's the thing. He didn't know exactly where God was calling him to go. The point the writer's going is like, there's a lot of uncertainty in this walk as a Christian. You don't always know where you're going to go. You don't always know how life's going to work out. Abraham went by faith. He left that city. He left all the securities. He left all of that by faith to go to where? Where the Lord would show him. Which was where? Well, he didn't know the end. He had to keep walking. And as he did with his family, it turned out that he walked 1,700 kilometers. By the time he gets to Canaan, 1,700 kilometers. That is a long way to travel. Like, that's the total distance. I mean, Johannesburg is like 1,100 kilometers, right? So, like, go an extra 500 and you're out of the borders of the country. And they would have followed the rivers. And he walks and walks. And he has to forsake the stability of his home and live in tents. Except like a temporary nature of living. And the point again that the writer is saying is, guys, God's called you to live by faith in him and his promises and in his son, Jesus Christ. And it's costing you your security. It's costing you a lot. You know, you're on this journey and you've left the city walls. You could be attacked by bandits along the way. You know, you could be, because of your faith in Christ, you could end up having a confiscation of your goods. You could end up paying for this belief in Christ with blood. Like, you could lose family members on the way. This is not an easy journey. But God has called Abraham, and he's called you. And Abraham, how did he do it? Well, he was looking ahead to a country by faith. He looked ahead, and he saw, he just saw that there was something better for him in God. Now, this is in no way for us. Is Australia better for us? For us as believers, what's better for us is what God calls us to as far as being like him. He calls us to leave a country that we were living in a sense, that did not have God. We lived before knowing God in a place, the Bible says, we were strangers to the covenants of God, foreigners to the Lord and his presence. But when he woke us up, we received a call in God to now follow him, to obey his commands. And so I want to just look at a couple of things that we have been called to by God. And we've been called out of something, the Bible says, out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Right? I want to look at a couple of things that we, not necessarily what we've been called out of, but what we've been called into as believers. Because every one of us are called, just as Abraham was. It's not the elders in Oxygen Life that are called only. It's not the deacons that are called only. It's all of us are called. All of us, you know what the church means, the word church, ecclesia, means in the Bible? The called out ones. We've been called out. We've been called out of our And we've been called into the kingdom of the Son that he so loves. We've been called into this living relationship with God. But let me look at the things that we are called to. And this is the pattern throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible. We see God calling people, and now he's called us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, But you are a chosen people. Part of the awesome thing about being called is he's chosen. He chose you, and he calls you out. He chose Abraham out of everybody else. Why didn't he choose Abraham's father or Abraham's brother? He chose Abraham. That's it. And he chose it. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, which means a set-apart nation, a people belonging to God, which means when he calls you and you obey, it's like you belong. It's like you don't belong to yourself, you're obeying. Belonging to God, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. So once you were an Ur of Chaldean, once you were just living as the world did, but now you're living as an obedient child of God. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Once you're not a people, now you're God's people. Once you were not called, now you are called by God. Isn't this awesome? Come on. So what are the things we are called to? We are called, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. Have a look at this. He says that you are, I haven't quoted the whole thing there. Romans 1. You got it. Can you just go to verse 5 so I can just read it? Sorry, I did only quote from there, but that's right, Romans 1. Oh, we'd have to go right back, hey, on my word. Yeah, that's why. He just talks about through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So he says there, we are being called, we have been called to belong to Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? It means you got to start off asking yourself, well, who is Jesus? Because I've been called to belong to Jesus, that's quite a big thing. Like, I mean, it means if I don't belong to myself and I belong to Jesus, well, who is the person I belong to? Well, what is his nature? You know, what does it mean to belong to him? Because if I'm not my own, I mean, and you're telling me I belong to Jesus, sure. Well, he's the one through whom the whole universe has been made. The Bible says nothing that has been made has not been made through Christ. So it means he possesses all power. It means he possesses all wisdom. The Bible says that in Christ belongs wisdom and knowledge. The Bible says that Christ within him are unsearchable riches. There's unsearchable riches to be found in Christ. And he's not talking about money. He's talking about the perfection of moral virtue. It's to be found not just as something to philosophize about. It's about something to experience and to know. The Bible says, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is holy, whatever is excellent, think about these things, because those things reside in Christ and who he is. And you belong to one who is excellent. You belong to one who is pure. You belong to one who is holy, who is set apart. You belong to one who is righteous in all of his ways. You belong to one, the Bible says, who has a sash around him when he comes again. He has a sash around him that its name is, his name is Faithful and True. You belong to somebody who is faithful and true over your life. You belong to one who is a faithful high priest on your behalf. The Bible says in Hebrews that he lives to intercede on your behalf so that you can obtain the salvation. You can obtain the end point of your start. You started, you don't know exactly. You're like, oh, Lord, help me get there. I'm only like, when I got saved, I was 13. You're like, oh, my word, okay, I'm going to give my life to the Lord. My word, that means I've got to be holy for how many years? Woo! It's a long time. And when you first get saved, you're like, of course I'm going to be holy. Oh, yeah, I can feel it. I've got power in me. And I love Jesus. Oh, I'll never deny you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. First outreach I go, and there's a porn magazine next to the bed. I'm like, oh, I'm here for an outreach. Quick look. Put the book down. I'm like, oh, what have I just done? I'm an outreach for Jesus. I said, I never deny him. I've just looked at it quickly. Oh, freak out. How many more years have I got left? How am I going to get to the end? But Jesus comes, John chapter 13, with his disciples, and he says, it's time for me to wash your feet. Peter says, you won't wash my feet. He says, I must wash your feet, Peter. Not the whole of you is dirty. Some of you is dirty, and I need to wash it, because otherwise you'll have no part of me. And he washes his disciples' feet, the job nobody wanted to do, the filthiness that came upon them from walking in the dusty streets of humanity. He washes. Sometimes we brush up against sin. Sometimes sin brushes up against us. Sometimes he smacks you in the face and you're down like a 10-ton truck's just gone over you. And he says, I've died for that sin too. I've died for that one as well. And all the ones that are coming, I died for them too. Just map out your life, because when I called you, I am a faithful Messiah. I'm a faithful Savior. I'm willing to save. John chapter 3 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might have life through him. And he says, if you do not believe, you stand condemned. Tonight, don't think that you're just going to, you stand condemned. You need to believe in Christ. But for those of us who believe, you will be saved. You are saved. You are being saved. You are on this Abrahamic journey towards the end point. And he who's called you is faithful. That's the one that you serve. And he's more adamant, more interested, he's more determined to get you to the end point than you are. God is so zealous over our lives, friends. He's already expressed the full extent of his love in sending his Son to us. So whenever you doubt the nature of God and who he is, just look to his Son. Kiss the Son. Embrace the Son. Adore the Son and say, thank you, Jesus. And yes, you go, oh, what on earth? I did it again. Oh, my hat. Well, can he? Yes, he can. He's the one who's called and equipped and enabled you to get through to the end. You fall down on your knees and you say, oh, God, yes, again, Lord. Here I am again. You see, it's the kindness, it's the grace, it's the mercy of God that leads us to repentance, friends. It's as we see his grace, as we, his grace empowers us as we posture ourselves towards the Lord. Come on. Hello. The call of God. You belong. Who do you belong to? You are called to belong to a God who's willing to take you to the end. He's not looking over your back to see, ah, there we go, disqualified. Ah! Now it's my time to pour my judgment out on you. You know, that's what Jesus did. Sean read from Isaiah chapter 53. It pleased God to put his wrath on the Son. There's something right there for us to marvel at for the rest of our lives. That it actually, Jesus went like a lamb to the slaughter with having not done anything wrong. He was, all the accusations that were meant to be on me, he took upon himself. He bore them as one who had done nothing wrong. And like a lamb to the slaughter, he went. And it's like, this is for you, Brad. Abraham, this is for you, Brad. I called you out of Ur. I'm taking you to a heavenly kingdom. You keep coming. The accusations that are against you are on me. He died under my accusations. The Bible says in Colossians that he canceled the written code, disarming the powers and principalities that come with that written code. What he's talking about is there's a law. God is perfect in his nature. So his perfection of his nature and his holiness demands that there's payment for sin. Apparently there's a little syndicate of dudes who are breaking into houses here in Walmart, even just this week. Those guys need to get caught and justice needs to be served. They need to go to jail for what they're doing. Breaking into houses. That's what the law says, and it's right. It's good. If you say, no, we should give them a second chance, then you're actually not holy. No, just give them another, just give him another chance. No. If he wants to steal, then he must pay. That's justice, right? It is. And that's the same with even the minutest sin that we commit towards God. We must pay. But God in his love said, you can never pay. You can never pay. But I want you. I've destined you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, I've not destined you for wrath, but to obtain salvation. So he's destined you for salvation, not for wrath. So, but he pours his wrath out upon his Son. So every sin that I commit, it needs to be punished. And he goes, I'll put it on my Son. And the Son died for the sins of the whole world. In that moment, when Jesus was on that cross, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world, past, present, future. It's mind-blowing. It happened. He came under a crushing demonic power and force. The fullness of the devil's powers were unleashed upon him. As he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? It's the sin separated him from God. For you and me to belong. To belong. Because we don't deserve to be called out of that earth to go to where we're going. Because where we're going is the promised land. It's a land whose builder and city, its city and builder is God. It's not made by man. But this walk, it's a walk of faith. And you don't know where God's going to lead you and what's going to happen. But you've got to trust in him. But when you know who you belong to, it's all going to be okay. You're going to get through. If, as the writer says, you have faith and you hold on and you continue in your faith to hold on to the one who's called. You need to remain steadfast. He says, we are those who believe. He ends this by saying, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. But we are, just before this, Hebrews chapter 10, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. So he says, we are not of those who turn back to Ur. No, we believe and we keep walking and are saved. If you turn back and you're going to go back the way from where you came from, it's dangerous. It's like, whoa, hang on a second. But he's given you everything you need for the journey and you're walking away from it. It's not good, not good. Don't drift away. Get on that path because he's got you. Come on. You belong to Jesus Christ. And Paul says to those you are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God. Friends, we are loved by God. You've got to get this into our hearts. Loved by God. Is it wonderful? He sorts out one of the greatest needs in our hearts is, does anybody really care? Does anybody really notice? Does my life really matter? Does it really count? Yes. God died for you. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. Your life matters lots to him. Praise God. He comforts us. He stills the restlessness of our souls. Those cries in the middle of the night, the lonely nights of the soul. Say, God, are you listening? Do you see me? Do you hear me? Are you there? What is the point of life? He's right there. Loved by God. He's right there. And in fact, those are the cries that he loves the most when we're at the end of ourselves. But those are just going, yeah, is my lacquer, yeah, and I don't need nothing. Just me, my family, my walls around me. Well, is not even there today. It's gone. But the one who made us is there forever. You're loved by the one who's eternal. And as we hold on to him, he takes you on into eternity. Deuteronomy 14, 14 to 16. To the Lord your God belong the heavens. Moses is saying, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them. And he chose you, their descendants above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and don't be stiff-necked any longer. Don't go, oh, I'm not going to serve you, God. No, like, don't be stiff-necked. Like, don't be determined to do things your own way. Surrender. You've got a God who loves you. You belong to him. He set his affection upon you. Ephesians 1 says that even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. See, what that does, it secures you in that perfection of God's nature and enables you to keep walking away from a land that was lived according to everybody else's opinions. What car do you drive? What house do you live in? What job do you have? What sports team did you make or didn't make? What can you do? What are you good at? You know, what are those things? That's the Ur-life, man. The Ur-life is what the world deems as, you know, what helps you to fit in. Surfer life. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a surfer. I fit in with the surfers. I don't really fit in with anybody else. I've got a certain tier, economic tier. Those are the people that I hang out with. But when you belong to God, and he puts, you've got to walk away from that land. You've got to walk away from your identity being attached in all those things. And it's uncomfortable. It's a lot of uncertainty. And so if you were sleeping with your girlfriend over there in Ur, now God says, I called you, Brad Verena, whatever you place your name there. I called you, Brad. And you're like, yeah, this life is lucky, yeah. And then you hear God, and you're like, woo, I feel something happening. He's cleansed me of my sin. This God that I belong to, I want him. Amen, I want him. And you leave Ur. And then he says, all right, stop sleeping with your girlfriend. You're like, well, hang on a second. Do I go back to Ur now? Or do I keep going in this land of, I'm going to sleep alone in my bed every night for who knows how long? Because what is the new, what is this new journey of mine now? Whoa, till marriage. And then marriage? Yeah, one wife, full life. This is a suggestion, you know. The lawyers are nearby. That's what everyone's doing. I mean, I watched that program on TV. I haven't, but this is what, you know, think. I watched that program on TV. What's it like, trying out each other for a month or something? You marry each other and then you check it out, Bachelor, I don't know. And then you, like, I haven't watched it, but it is out there. Yeah, so if it doesn't work out, God is love. Eesh. When you look at this, when you go down this path that he's calling you and you're sticking next to, what happened is Abram actually stuck close to a river, and the word of God is the river of God, right? Presence of God. And you're reading his word and you're following, and he's just saying, live in tents. And you, man, this is hard. I just want some normality like I had there in Ur. And he's then calling you to come to church. Are you serious? Sunday mornings was my paddling morning on the ocean. There's dolphins out there. PE is awesome. And it really is awesome. Like, yeah, but there's mountain bike rides. My father always took me on mountain bikes ride on a Sunday. Now you guys are telling me about church. No, well, we're not telling you. We're just telling you what the Bible says. Tish. But Saturday night's braai night. Like it's when the Boca are playing, don't call a meeting on when the Boca are playing at church. What are these guys doing a leadership meeting on when the Boca are playing the Aussies? Like, did they not check the Springbok calendar before calling the church meetings? But Wednesday night is squash night. Now they got come on a Wednesday night. Now look, maybe we need to shift things around to fit in squash night so it can be an outreach night. But you know, when it's Tuesday night, oh, we can't have a Tuesday night because that's date night. We'll have a Thursday night for you. No, Thursday night I got business meetings. We'll make it Friday night. Oh, I need a break. It's been a hard week. Okay, what about Monday? Yeah, I've been to church on Sunday already. You can't have a Monday as well. What about Saturday? Springbokke. I mean, no more time. That's it. I mean, that was God says, come. Come, my children. I've called you. I've called you by name. You belong to me. And I've given you forgiveness. I've paid a price that nobody else could pay. I've given you life that nobody else could give you. There's no other God but me. There's no other God in the heavens but me. There's no, one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your experience on this earth right now is in a physical body, but you are spiritual. And this physical body will pass away, and that which is spiritual will stand before God to be judged. And if you, that which he's given you, it's unquantifiable. You can't put a value to it. And then he says, okay, but walk with me, because we've been called to obedience. We've been called to know someone. Let me. Galatians 2 verse 20, 21 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live in the flesh. I now live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that wonderful? I live now by faith in the Son of God who died for me, who loved me and died for me. Gave himself for me. Yeah, here's the thing. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 says, you have been called into fellowship with his Son. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When he calls you out of Ur and you go down this journey of, what? I must love one another as Christ loved me? What does it even look like? I'd just rather do a Bible study where I just fill myself with knowledge every week. I mean, surely that's the zenith of the Christian life, to know the Bible from A to Z. No. The Bible says knowledge is going to perish one day. Love will last through into the next life. We're so good at knowledge in the West. Yo, we know our Bibles. Amen. Well, maybe not actually. We're actually not so good at knowledge. We actually don't know our Bibles that well. Because we're too busy doing other things than to read our Bibles or even believe it's true sometimes. But we're happy to add knowledge to knowledge. But when the leaders call us to loving each other by being in a community, yay, this is a cult. These leaders are demanding. Yo, they're even trying to disciple us. Who do they think they are? We're trying to obey the apostles, the writers of the scripture, the Holy Spirit came through. And actually, compared to the faith that I read in the Bible, I think often even what we call you to is way less sometimes than what we see in the Bible. So we get called a cult because we're just trying to call people to a deep devotion that demands everything. Because that's, we're Abrahams. We're called. And so we forsake stuff. Tell you what, if you're going to be, I hear it all the time. I mean, I've been a saved a long time. Well, I can tell you so many stories. I've had friends, I'm going to succeed in business. God's going to make me successful. I've had my friends in high school, ooh, I'm going to make money, bro, but in Jesus. I'm going to make money for Jesus. I mean, one friend, he was like a prayer partner and a Bible study dude, and we were together. I remember sitting one day just talking about Jesus. He was so passionate. I was so passionate. He was going, bro, I know God's called me to the economy, economics. I'm going to study economics. I'm going to make money. For Jesus. Well, he went out and he made a heck of a lot of money. He's not serving Jesus anymore. And he's divorced his wife. God, but we had passionate discussions about Jesus. Gone. Not even interested. You're not interested in God. Run away from the Lord. Gone straight back to Ur. Straight back. He's not Abraham anymore. He's going to be destroyed on that last day. Unless somehow God's got him. I don't know. But he's not. There's no fruit on his life. In his life. Nothing. To me, he's in danger of being burned up. Along with all the others. You're going to experience gnashing of teeth and a separation from God's presence. But man, where it talks about Jesus. There's a guy even now. Somebody, man. Just saying. All I want to do. And he's got this amount. I'm going to earn that. He's a Christian, born again. I'm like, I don't know if that's what you must be aiming. In fact, I do know. The Bible says, do not desire to be rich. So what is that? Where does that put you if you're earning money? It just says, be faithful. If God makes you rich, then use that finance to the glory of God. But don't aim at becoming rich. There's many rich Christians, and may there be more many, many rich Christians. God doesn't have a problem with wealth. It's what we do with it and where it lies in the order of priorities in our lives. If money is above God, then it's your God. If you desire to be rich more than you desire to follow God and be on this journey with God and be faithful with what he's given you, you're not on the path. You're not walking as one who's called by him in that area. But we've been called, hey, man, we've been called to fellowship with Jesus. That means to walk with him. And I tell you what, when you leave the securities, like Andrew was saying, you pray every day. I tell you what, we are in that car on the way to school, and we every single day, not that we, and we were doing it in PE. I'll be honest, as a family, we've been living our lives dependent on God when we were here. It's just we're going even deeper now. Because now it's like, what on earth have we done, Lord? Like, we've obeyed you, but man. And there's some of you brand new to Oxygen Life Church. Even I've met tonight 3 new people to us. It's scary coming to a new place. Guys, if there's new people here, please, please invite them around for supper. Invite them around to your house. Ask them about their lives. Don't just talk about yourself the whole night. Ask them where they come from, what they're doing, what their desires are, their hurts, their pains. What they ask them about their mom, their dad, their brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, their dogs. They like dogs, don't they? Like the cats. Just get to know stuff about their lives. Because they've got a whole life that we don't know anything about. And we have the privilege of partaking in who God is to us. He calls us when we don't deserve him. And he knows everything about us. And we get to practice who God is to them by actually getting to know them and welcoming them into fellowship, into knowing us. We've been called into fellowship, the fellowship of his Son. God wants to speak to you every day. If not every day, well, definitely every day, but if we don't hear him every day, like, just get with guys who can hear God's voice and say, what could God be saying to me? Ask them to help you to read your Bibles, because when you, I opened my Bible this morning before our finance meeting. Our finance meeting was 6 o'clock. I knew I've got to wake up just to spend a bit of time with the Lord. And I'm like, what is my Bible reading today? It's Song of Songs. I'm like, okay, I know what's coming here, you know. start reading chapter 1, and if you know Song of Songs, it's like these two lovers who are like loving each other, one kissing the other one running away, then hugging each other. And it's like super sloppy stuff, man. It's like super like romantic, like hectic. I'm just reading this thing. Like, you know, I wish that my lover would come. She's got breasts like donuts or something. And I'm reading this thing. I'm like, okay, Lord. And that's in the Bible. It's like, you know, like coconuts or whatever. I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what's going on here. No, I do know what's going on. I mean, this is in the Bible, so I'm not trying to be ugly or anything. But, you know, as I'm reading it, I'm like, I know what this is about. And, man, I've heard people preach such beautiful sermons on this stuff. About God being our lover. And us being those who must pursue him. And this morning, I just have to say, Lord, help me to love you. And tonight, as we started worshiping, Dean starts smashing away. And it's like quite a fast sort of love song. And I'm going, okay, this is what I read this morning, Lord. Yeah, who's adore you? Okay. You know, like, the Lord will speak to you every day. Every day through the word. If we'll let him. And we'll look for him, because he says, my lover hides like a dove in the clefts of the rock. So it means sometimes it's not always easy to find God. It's like sometimes, Lord, where are you? Song of Solomon. Okay, I'm coming, Lord. Like, teach me what you want to teach me. And sometimes you open your Bible and it's like, God slayed them all and blood flowed through the streets. You're like, wow. What is this saying now? And then, yeah. And then you say, God, what are you saying? He says, my boy, I'm your dad, but I'm also the judge of all the earth. And there'll come a day when I'm not sitting as a papa, daddy, God, Abba, Father. I'm sitting as righteous judge, capital J. Are you ready? How's your life looking, my boy? Daddy God, are you there? It's like, Abba? Abba? No, not Abba. Today, I'm showing an aspect of my nature. See, when you're not in the Word and you're just reading all your favorite scriptures, you just think, yeah, he's only just Daddy God. No, he's righteous judge. When you're just flicking through like Russian roulette of scriptures, you know, like, I don't like that one. Let God speak. You've come into the fellowship of the Son. And the Son is scary. He's safe. Oh, but he's scary. So you'll be okay with him. He'll take you through. But he'll call you to do some wild things. To stand out from your friends. Not drink when they're drinking. Not look at porn. He'll call you to be a great husband even when your wife's not being a great wife. Or vice versa. A great wife when your husband's not being a great husband. He'll call you to not sign the divorce papers too quick. In fact, maybe not sign them at all. I've been around a lot, guys. There's a lot of young people here. You've got a long way ahead of you. Some of you are going to end up in marriages. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And you're like, I thought I got called out of earth to the fellowship of the Son, but this is like the dungeon of like earth. You know, like I'm being called. I'm like right now. In like a rack, like feeling like my whole body, my limbs are going to get torn apart in my marriage. I went out. Let me go on the internet and see what teachings there are that allow me to divorce. Let me see, hang on a second. I'm not attracted to boys anymore. I like girls. Oh, yes, there's a church, churches that believe that. You got to leave, man. You got to stay with teachers who are teaching the truth. And then you got to go against the passions of your flesh and remain with the fellowship of the Son. Remain with the fellowship of the Son. You're called, Romans 1:7 says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. A saint is a most holy thing. It's somebody who's consecrated, they're blameless and pure. But the fellowship of the Son will help you. I'll end with this. Can we have the musos up, Dean and the guys? Really profound thing, statement my son Levi said just before we left. I'd asked everyone, just guys, we need to pray. God's spoken, but all of you go and pray and just ask the Lord about this Australia thing and like just get God to speak to you. Like get with the fellowship of the Son. He's going to speak to all of us, right? He's spoken to me and we're going, but just hear from God yourself as well. And Levi comes, he's like, so we have a family meeting to what is the Lord saying? So he's like, guys, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really tough. But the thing is, if God has called us to Australia, that means he's in Australia, which means we're going to him, which means it's going to be okay. It's like, drop the mic, man. It's like, and so maybe I've pointed out a few things today. Maybe as God's called you out of called you out of maybe selfish living, living for self, and he's calling you to love on people more. Maybe he's calling you to leave certain passions that you're stuck in that are not godly. Maybe you've forgotten just how much you belong to the Lord, and if you've actually felt a bit lost, like that God doesn't care or know me, and tonight he's reminding you that you belong to me and you're loved by me, and you're just needing prayer for that. Like, but know this, what, and maybe you're feeling like this is a long road still to go. Like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to persevere to the end? How am I going to keep walking? Because it says, Abraham, if Abraham was looking toward the land from which he came, he wouldn't have carried on. Because he would have gone, oh, this is the better life. This is nice. But he was looking to the land to which the voice, this God was calling him. Who had done, I mean, we can't go into his life. God cut covenants with him. He had experiences with God. He had encounters with God. He's like, he's going, I've seen too much. I'm putting my eyes on this God. He's got a better future for me. Maybe there's some people here, you've turned back. You're walking back to Ur. You run straight back to the place from which you come, like a dog to the vomit. And wondering, can God forgive me? Yes, he can. Yes, he's willing. Will you come to God tonight? Amen.